welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, or as Christine likes to say, More Life with the Girlfriends.
That's right. Hello, everyone. Good evening. And yes, we want more, because we are yeah girls.
That's right. I want to be a yeah girl.
Yeah.
Well, we're Christine Marie and Julie. I'm Julie.
Yeah. Okay, that leaves me as Christine Marie, right?
We're mother-daughter duo, best of friends.
Right.
We're law of attraction coaches and so much more, authors of the Amazon best-selling book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. Mm-hmm. And we really are about having more life.
We really are. And we're, and listen, people, I want you to know, we study it. We practice it. we explore it. We're like researchers.
That's right.
We're scientists of the more life. We really are.
And I love that you said this, because we've got two guests coming up today, and we're still in the midst of interviewing all these wonderful authors on Unwavering Strength. And it's this book coming out late September, September 30th, and it's all about these short stories talking about the time they've had to really invoke unwavering strength.
And these are not just, these are real.
Oh, yeah.
These are real. They're not just fiction.
No. And our first guest, Corinne Cazaza, and I hope I say her name right, her last name, because that's the way I want to say it, Cazaza. It rolls off my tongue. She's
kind of like George Costanza.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. But you were talking about how we really dive deep into how to have a better life, how to have more life.
Yes.
And not be stressed out about it. That's kind of where our main focus is right now.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I went back to school after I raised you guys and got my bachelor's in behavioral science and went on to get my master's degree in psychotherapy, and then we went on to do coaching. And it really is, I really wanted to know about how to have a good life, a balanced life, a happy life, a joyful life, more life.
Yeah,
you know? And it's not just about stuff.
Because
we all know now, hopefully we all know, the more stuff you have doesn't necessarily make you happy.
And it just means when you want to move, you've got to figure out a place to pack it.
That's right.
Holy cow, why did I buy this? I've used it maybe once.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing about things we buy. Sometimes it's used, if used once.
The thing that I like buying exercise equipment. But really, I'm just a girl who gets on the floor and does, you know, and does her yoga. I grab a pair of 3-pound weights. I do I don't need these big things, Chuck Norris
and
all that stuff. But, you know, and that's a little where I say I'm a little too much of the more, you know.
Well, it's funny. I understand that you're letting it out of the cat out of the bag in some sense.
Right.
I was going to say you're letting the cat out of the hat, but that's not it either.
Thank you, Dr. Seuss.
Because you love Zumba, and you have many CDs or DVDs in Zumba.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so funny because you're like, I got to get this next Zumba thing.
Yeah.
I got to get it. I love the stepping on the little thing and stepping on this new round, circular step stool or whatever. Get this exercise going. And it came, and the first thing you said was, I don't know why I got this. I am never going to do this. You knew yourself that well.
I'm coughing. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm going to get a drink of water.
Well, that's okay. And so, you know, the first thing you did was you decided to return it because you realized I have plenty of Zumba DVDs.
I do.
And now you're going to have this big box, this thing in your bedroom where you love to work out, and you realize it's not you. It wasn't that you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's true.
But one of the things I wanted to talk about with Corinne,
I have a button that I can press, Julie?
No, you don't. I'm sorry. You can't turn I'll just keep talking. You'll just have to turn away. And hopefully the cough drop. Do you have a cough drop?
I'm going to get one.
Oh, good. That's a good idea. But talking about how we like to read up and investigate, and we discuss. That's one nice thing about being a mother and daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We allow ourselves this really expanded space without judgment to talk these things out. And sometimes we come to aha moments, and one of the things I want to talk about with Corinne, not only did she write a story of an unwavering strength story, she also has written many books, many articles, but the book she also just came out called Break These Chains of Love, A New Paradigm for Relationships. And what I love about this book, and I'll go over this again when she gets on the line in about 4 or 5 minutes, this idea where her friend says, okay, you need to write a book about relationships because your relationships suck. And the only way you're going to get better is to write a book about it. And I dig that because that's just Zig Ziglar talk. So I'll go over that again when she comes online. Mm-hmm. But it's so true. The things that we lack, we feel we're not, we don't know enough, or we have fear about, we dive deep and we really become masters in it because it doesn't come easy for us. Mm-hmm. There are coaches who I know who, you know, have no problem with, you know, their bodies are always slender and they're always active and it's never an issue, just never an issue. And but yet the relationships stink. Mm-hmm. I know people whose relationships are so wonderful and they have money problems, you know, or they can't figure out how to bring in more money. Mm-hmm. And so they dive deeper into it because it's like, you know, well, why should I work in my relationship? Because those are natural to me. Mm-hmm. We all have some sort of natural gifts, and those aren't usually the gifts we want. We want the things that are just out of our reach. And I can't wait to talk to Corinne about that because I think she's a girl right up our alley.
Yes, yes. Well, while we're waiting, Bears lost today.
Yes. All right.
Dang. And in overtime. In a heated overtime.
Yes. And my guy went. He has season tickets to the Bears game. And he went with his friends, like he always does, the first home game. And he said it was a beautiful game. It was very exciting. But they always get so sad when they lose. And
The Bears.
And I said, well, how was it? And he goes, it was great. It was a good game, but it was so sad and depressing. And I'm like, okay. And consequently, I am losing in my fantasy football team right now because I have quite a few Bears players. And, oh, well, what am I going to do?
I know, our fantasy football league. And right now, Team Taco?
Yes.
Not doing too good.
Not today, it's not doing too good. It should have been. It should have done really well, but I don't know why not.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. You'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Maybe you have more of your games, though, on Monday night.
Maybe so.
We can always hope. And so our second guest tonight, though, is Willie Tart, which I can't wait to interview him as well. He's got a great story about grit. And there's a cute synchronicity, serendipity thing about grit that I'm going to share with everybody. And I hope that he enjoys it as well, because I love that word grit.
Mm-hmm.
And he has another T to it. I think it's only one T, right?
The way that, you know, normally spell G-R-I-T, but he spells it G-R-I-T-T, and it's godly resolve in troubled times.
That's exactly right. You did it. Yeah. I'm so proud of you.
Hey, girlfriend.
You got it right.
I did it.
Awesome. Godly resolve in troubled times.
That's right.
And so we're talking with him after the break at 7:30. And
he's got a great story, and he's just got a good name.
Willie Tart?
Yeah. It's a good name.
It sounds like a football name.
I don't know what it sounds like, but it's good. I don't know. I like it.
Well, I'm glad you like it, girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. So before we get our first guest on, I know she'll be coming on any moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you'd like to talk about, girlfriend?
Your guest is with
really.
Us.
Not really. You know, we'll talk about the Clutterfly Effect, our book, and they can buy it on Amazon and send us a receipt and give you the free audio.
Awesome.
And where can they get that send that receipt to? At
Talk to us at ChristineMarieAndJulia.com.
That's right.
And I believe we have our guest here.
Oh,
Corinne,
wonderful.
Are you there?
I am.
Hi, Corinne. Corinne, before I say your last name, I have it as Kazaza. Is that correct?
Actually, Kazaza is correct, and my first name is Corinne.
Oh, Corinne. I don't know. You know why? I apologize, Corinne, because My confirmation name is Corinne.
Mm-hmm. It's spelled the same way.
And so every time I see that, I'm like, oh, Corinne. I'm like, no, it's Corinne. Well, welcome to Life with the Girlfriend, Corinne. Girlfriends, Corinne, I just want to say first off, we were talking about unwavering strength, and your story, Resplendent in Death, Gifts from My Mother, when I was reading it, was so touching.
Yes.
Being so close to my mom and her having red hair like your mom did,
yeah.
I had a hard time getting through it. It was so touching. And I want to talk about that first, and then I also want to talk about, I kind of want to switch, if you're open, switch attitudes a little bit, and I want to talk about Break These Chains of Love, A New Paradigm for Relationships, because how fun was that book, being able to write about something you desired so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, Corinne, tell me a little bit, or tell our audience why you decided to open your heart and share this personal story about loss with your mom for the Unwavering Strength series.
Well, thank you both for having me. I decided to write this because it was my hope that it could help people. It was a difficult journey at the time, but looking back on it, I just grew so much from it. And being a writer, you know, I really feel, I've always felt, it's my greatest passion and my greatest gift. And it has always been my hope to help heal people and shift people and move people through what they're going through with my writing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and yeah, you are an author. Yeah, I know you write, you're a freelance writer. You also are, do you do Reiki or you're really into the energies, the healing energies? And you're a spiritual counselor as well. Does that
right,
allow
yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
I said, does all that training allow you to be so open with your, I mean, your writing is very open. And I appreciate that. Did it take you a long time to just allow yourself to be open with everybody, or is that you knew from the beginning that was your journey?
That was definitely my journey. It has taken me all this time. I've been writing for almost 4 decades now, and thank you for saying that I'm open, because that has been my journey, to be willing to be open. I mean, you just brought up Break These Chains of Love, and for me, it was very difficult. I had a lot of trepidation about putting that book out there, because it's me at my best and me at my worst, and honestly, I had never really been willing to share me at my worst.
Mm-hmm.
So once I got it out there, it was really liberating, and I'm really glad I did it, and it's my hope that I will continue in that vein.
That's really poignant, because when people can see you at your best and see you at your worst, they really get the courage it takes to achieve the best. It's never just here I am, here's my best,
yeah.
Without the work, and so forth. But I love this idea, Corinne, and I was talking to Christine before you came on, is that this trying to find love in your life and working out relationships, you were taught, you were said, hey, I got to write a book about this, and that's the only way I'm going to get to it. And I want to say, like Zig Ziglar says, if you want to learn anything, write a book about it, and you did, and you did. So very, very cool. And are you working on any other books that you want to share right now that you're wanting more information about?
I am working on a new novel that's called The Adventures of Blue Belly and Sugar Shaker, and it's about two Bostonians who have spiritual powers. One can manifest at will, and one can read people's energies. So they just are kind of filling out those powers and getting into lots of trouble. So now that I'm back in Boston, I wanted to use my surroundings and write about that, because I really haven't, and this is my home.
Right. Well, and in your story, Resplendent in Death, Gifts from Your Mother, you talk about being from Boston and then moving to Sedona, Arizona, and really feeling the pull to go there. And at that time when you moved, a crisis came on with your mom. Could you talk a little bit about the story in that? Because sometimes when we're in the midst of our greatest change and our biggest adventures, things happen to pull us back in, pull us back home.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I was recently divorced. I moved to Sedona. On the day that I arrived in Sedona, I lost my job, my 15-year career at a big blue high-tech company. And a few weeks later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer. So it was it was a huge year of change. I mean, I kind of felt like Sedona was spitting me out. But, I mean, it would have been easy to go home at that point. And I did have at first a lot of guilt about, you know, wondering why I was so far away when she was ill. But through meditation, it was made clear to me that I could make a difference by being so far away. And that did turn out to be the case, because my mother was able to be more candid with me about what she was feeling and what she was going through than she was with the people who were in the day-to-day of it with her, the people who were my sister who was bringing her to treatments, my dad, you know, because they were really in the thick of it. And I was able to be, this sounds cruel, but a little more detached because I was farther away.
Oh, I totally see that. And I never even thought about that. You, even when you're sick and you're going through your own crisis, you still sometimes put on a happy face for the people that are right around you to make it less hurtful for them or less stress for them. And because of the distance, she was able to give you the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because she didn't have to put a happy face on. That was a great gift to her. I know you in your story you talk about having this intuition to go back home. What was that about? When did that all happen?
My mother was in the hospital, and they told her that she was going to be fine. They were sending her home, and she was going to go to rehab. And when they told me that, it just didn't feel right to me. It felt off. And I just thought to myself, I better get on a plane. And so I called my mother and told her I was coming home, and she said, well, you don't need to be here right now, but it'll be nice to see you. So, and of course, it wasn't a good time for me to leave Sedona. I was working in an office. I was supposed to be covering for someone on vacation, and I was just like, I need to go. I just knew, like, I just felt the pull that I needed to go. And so I did, and I arrived there, and it went very quickly from you're leaving, you're going home to rehab, to you're dying and there's nothing more that we can do for you, which, you know, was very shocking. I mean, I had felt that, but it was still shocking to me, so I can't imagine, you know, what my mom was feeling at that point. And I just remember she was so brave and so eloquent, and she just said to them, okay, well, just keep me comfortable and let me go.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's in your story, I could really tell how much you witnessed unwavering strength in your mom, and how after this time had occurred in your life, how you were able to take that from your mom as well and add to your strength. You talk about your mom as there was just one thing. You know, you're talking to a close friend of yours. And I'm not giving all the story away, but I really want to talk about this part of the story. And your friend asks you, what's one thing right now do you want to resolve with your mom? Or what's one thing that you'd really want to hear from your mom at this moment? And you said, I want her to see who I really am. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And can you tell a little about that part of the story? Because I found it so sweet and touching how you resolved this issue.
So I was having anxiety attacks. When I would try to sleep, I would just get complete shortness of breath and be in a panic, and I couldn't figure out what that was about. And then my friend asked me that question, what's the one thing that needs to be resolved? And I said, she could never see who I am. And then my friend said to me, she could see who you are now. That's what she's doing. You know, she's looking at you from the other side, and she sees who you are. She sees the love and light that you are, that all of you are. And she's in awe of what you are. And she's sending you love from the other side. Every breath that she takes is sending you love from the other side. And she's just not quite ready to go yet. And so I took that all in. And when I went back to sit by my mom's bedside, I was holding her hand. And all of a sudden, I just got it. I got it. It's like that panic, that anxiety that I was having was about me being afraid that if my mother couldn't see who I was before she passed, that I never would. And so now I knew that she did, but I also realized it's my own responsibility for me to know who I am, what I'm capable of, and what my purpose here is. And I just understood that this was a way for me to step more into who I truly am.
Right. That's such a good point. And how, no matter what situation, how dire the situation is, Corrine, you were really allowed yourself to be present in the moment and to be open to whatever healing could take place. I think you talk about being present in your story a lot, and you're right. When we're present, we see little miracles happen all the time, and we see moments of healing or moments of learning that can take place in the most interesting ways and through the most horrific situations and where sadness is just all around you. For our audience, before we kind of move on, I know the book comes out at the end of the month. You can go to unwaveringstrength.com to pre-order now, and I'm sure it'll be on Amazon as soon as, I think, September 30th it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also go to Corrine's website.
Okay.
And it's Corrine, Corinne, Casaza, CASAZZA.com. And, Corrine, before we move on to your other book, I want to talk a little bit more about that and more about you, because you've got some interesting facts about yourself on your website that I want to talk about. What's one thing that you'd like to share with our audience before we move on about unwavering strength and about this story that you wrote about your mom?
I think that another gift that I got from this was that there is joy in every moment, and that when we're not wrapped up in our story, what I call our agenda, that we're free to see it. And that was a huge gift for me. I mean, at some point, once I stopped being wrapped up in my story, I realized that my mother was passing, and it was jubilant, and it was joyous. And I felt that. And in that moment, I realized this energy was here all the time. It's been here all the time. I just wasn't choosing to tap into it. And so what? At some point, I did, and that's what matters. So, yeah, there's joy in every moment. We just need to be present to feel it.
And I loved, by the way, I apologize because I've got a frog in my throat, and so I'm sorry about this, but I really enjoyed the fact that you speak about this agenda, and it's so healing because we realize that we always have some type of agenda, and then when we get conscious, when we get in the present moment, and we can release that, all sorts of things, can happen then.
Well, and I think, too, Christine, we talk about agenda. We also talk about in coaching that it's good to have an intention or an agenda, and by living in the present moment, releasing the grasp on that so much, that miracle can come through,
mm-hmm.
that joy can come through. And so, Corrine, thank you so much for being part of the Unwavering Strength Movement. Your story was wonderful. And like I said, for all the daughters out there who, are close with their mothers and I haven't had to go through this. I went through this with my grandmother, this situation where I was there with her passing. But it shows you the kind of person you are, and you learn so much from it. And as well as you just are, your heart grows immensely. So thank you for sharing this touching story. Now I want to go back to you, Corrine, and talk about how cool a person you are. And I love this idea how you talk about how you love to travel to sacred sites, and but you also call yourself an Egypt. You love everything Egypt, so I think you call yourself an Egyptophile. That's it. So when did and you've written a book about Egypt, haven't you?
Yes, one of my novels is set in Egypt.
So, I mean, are you still engaged in that? In the sense of, is that writing bug still a part? Do you have other stories that are in your head about Egypt, or what was the pull to Egypt?
I had wanted to go to Egypt since I was a child, and when I started to learn to meditate, I felt like Isis was coming through me, and so I wrote down what was coming out, and from that came the novel. I mean, some of what I channeled is actually in the novel. That one's called Walk Like an Egyptian, and I wrote that book before I ever set foot in Egypt. So it was interesting. I talk about, you know, the Temple of Isis in there and what it looks like. So it was interesting for me to go there and see the temple and what it looked like. And I said to our Egyptologist guide, I said, what's the story here? This temple isn't like the others. Like, it wasn't what I had seen in my head when I was writing. And he said, oh, well, you know, this one sunk. It was rebuilt. So you're right. It did have everything the other temples had. You're just not seeing it. I'm like, because it was rebuilt. And I was like, oh. So it turned out that I was pretty right on. What came from source through me, of course. It can't be other than right on. So that was really interesting to see. And I've been to a few sacred sites around the world, but Egypt was just, it just felt like home to me. So ancient, so alive. The grass there, when you put your hands in the grass at the banks of the Nile, it's just so green and so verdant and so ancient. I mean, when you're sailing down the Nile, it's just so surreal. It's hard to believe that you're really there. And honestly, I would love to go back. I talk about my friends and I who have been, and I've only been once, we talk about going back all the time.
You know, and Christine, I want to tell you some more about Corrine really quick because I think this is awesome. Mm-hmm. She's also a professional belly dancer.
And when she
So I'm sure her stomach muscles look great. And, you know, she also slid down the slide of an airplane. And so,
really?
Yes, and you can read all about that at Corrine's website. And you'll find out more about, you can look it up on our website as well at bbsradio.com/lifewithagirlfriends. We'll have all the information there, how to get a hold of Corrine, and so forth. But real quick, it looks kind of fun initially, Corrine, to be able to jump down that slide. So is it fun, or are you just so,
Yeah, you are so, I just knew that I needed to get down the slide and I was going to be fine. Like, whatever was going on with the plane and it smelled to me like it was on fire, I just knew that I had to get down and I was going to be okay. And that is what happened. And I did have to turn around and get on an international flight the next day. And I just knew if I don't get on a plane today, I will never do it again. So I did it.
Very, very cool. Well, Corrine, I want to thank you so much for being on Life with the Girlfriends. It's been a pleasure talking with you. You got everybody out there, you know, get your reserve copy now of Unwavering Strength. You can go to unwaveringstrength.com. Also, you can go to Amazon and get the book Break the Chains of Love,
yes.
A New Paradigm for Relationships.
Yes.
A relationship. But one more thing about this I love in her book, she really talks about letting your partner be who they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like not having an agenda for them.
That's exactly right. I thought that was so awesome.
Yes, and when you release that grip, life becomes better. And I thought that was such a great point in your book. So thank you for writing that as well and taking the time to really dive deep. And I'm going to have to ask you, how's your love life now?
I'm in love with everything around me, so it's
yay! Awesome. That's a great answer, and I'm glad you feel the love, girlfriend. I'm glad you feel the love.
And it was such a pleasure and delight having you.
Thank you both so much. It was so fun for me, too.
great. Thank you, Corrine.
Thank you, Corrine.
Have a great night. Oh, that was wonderful. Before we take our break, we're gonna you can go to our website, bbsradio.com/lifewithagirlfriends, to find out more about Corrine. And or it's Corrine, CorrineCasazza.com. And you can find out more about that, or on waveringstrength.com to sign up for that book. And right now we're gonna take our little break before we go on to our next interview. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, or More Life with the Girlfriends, with Christine Marie and Julie. And thank you for tuning back in after our short break. I love that song, I Was a Yaya Girl.
Oh, yeah.
You got me turned on. You got me turned on to it. It just feels so sassy.
And that's what we are.
Exactly.
And Willie, I'm so grateful to have you. I'm going to have to apologize. You can apologize too, but I've got a frog in my throat and it's not going away. So if I sound a little weird, I'm apologizing in advance, but I'm delighted to have you on. And like I told Julie, you have a great name. Isn't that right, Julie?
Willie Tart. I love this. You know, Willie, can you tell our audience a little about you? Because I'm reading your bio, and it seems, you know, I should be saluting you, first off.
Yes.
And say thank you for your service. So tell us a little about yourself.
Willie, I'm actually retired Air Force, and so I decided to stick around with the Navy after I retired. And so I served the Army as a civilian. Now I'm serving the Navy, Marine Corps, and the Coast Guard by way of Naval Hospital Bremerton in Washington. Mm.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So we want to say thank you for your active service and now doing what you do now for our servicemen and women. That's awesome. And Willie, you talk about your, first of all, thank you for writing your story for Unwavering Strength. And your story is called Matters of My Heart, True Grit, G-R-I-T-T. And I wanted to share something with you because I love the word grit. It means so much to me. And for my last Christmas present for my parents, they gave me this medallion. And I said, I didn't want anything. You know, we're all adults. I don't need anything. But they gave me this little medallion, and on the back of it just said grit.
Yes.
And I felt like I carried my grit with me all the time.
Yes.
So when I read your story, I got it. I got grit. But yours is goes a little deeper. And what do you mean by grit with a double T?
Yes. It stands for godly resolve in troubled times.
Mm. You bet. Yeah.
Yes. And so no matter what you go through or the challenges you face, with grit, you can go through it, and that challenge can end up being a stepping stone and not a stumbling block.
Yes,
yes. And I just sat with that. I never heard that before. Godly resolve in troubled times. And today when I was sitting with that and meditating on that, it felt so warm and comforting to feel that way. And 'cause we all go through troubled times. That's one thing, that's a human condition. And it is how we react to it and who we call on in those needs and how we respond and how we look on the other side of it as well.
You know what I would like to hear, if you don't mind, in your story you tell sort of three tales. One about when you used your grit with your wife, Tabitha, is that correct? And then the next little bit of story was with, I think it was with your adopted son. Is it Joaquin? Is that his name?
Jaquan.
Jaquan. Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry about that. And then,
yeah, no problem.
Then with your dad. So if you could just give us a little bit of those three instances and how you utilized your grit in those instances.
Yeah. Well, with my wife, 3 years ago, she was having problems breathing, and then I took her to the emergency room, and on the third time, there was a physician assistant there, and when the diagnosis came, which is the diagnosis they normally find in autopsies, which is pulmonary embolism, which is she had a few blood clots that launched off into her lungs. And so the way the grit really worked with me is some things that I can't change and that I can't fix myself, I've learned to trust God with those things. And then with grit, he provides sources of strength to different individuals around you and individuals that you may even least expect to come from, but the sources of strength that are around you. And at that time, my source of strength was my church and my coworkers, because it was at the hospital that I worked at.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, and you talk
then,
about... Yeah, go ahead.
Being there made it even more challenging, because if anything were to happen, then it's connected with a place where I work. And so, and then I was actually attached to the trauma team in the ER at that time. And so it made things a lot more closer to home. And
yeah.
Then a couple of weeks before, I just had coordinated a, organ transplant for someone that just passed away with that diagnosis, which was the first time I ever seen that diagnosis.
Whoa.
You know,
that must have been very frightening.
And,
yeah.
Oh yes, scary. I'd say it was the things that you fear the most. Well, that was one of the things I feared the most that came upon me.
Wow.
And you know, let's talk about that a little bit more, because you talk about in your story the things that God brings up situations for you to deal with your fears. And for you, it was always the fear of losing a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was, I think a lot of us have that fear, because I can tell in your voice, I can tell in your energy that you are a sweet man, and you probably have some really deep relationships. And I feel the same way about my relationships as well. And so sometimes the fear of that is, I don't want to lose them. You know, what will happen? Well, I mean, they're so good. They're so they help my life so much. And
yes.
Is that where learning to trust God has come into play too?
Definitely. Be willing to receive, even if it's outside of your box or your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Allow Him to use different people and different individuals to comfort you at that time.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point.
And I heard that we were writing our book, we used about trusting God, and we used the word trust as an acronym, which said to rely unto Spirit totally. And that is, in a lot of ways, that's where we get brought to, where we really do have to rely unto God totally. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing more, you know, humanly possible. So at that point, we just have to trust.
Oh, I love it. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to, you know. Sometimes the only thing you have left is your faith.
Yes.
Yes. And
yeah.
And sometimes we go at those moments of the crisis with our faith. We think, well, how come this is happening, God? Why is this happening? And yet through your story and with your grit, godly resolve in troubled times, I don't hear you questioning why it's happening. You're really opening to how can I receive comfort and have more faith from God and the people around. And I pick up what you said, God using different people in your life to comfort you. I think that's so poignant. Sometimes we have a closed mind on where our support and comfort can come from. And God has a way of showing up in the most amazing places.
That's true.
And
that's
true. Like, whoa. Absolutely. And having got, you know, having that incident with your wife at your hospital, I mean, that's pretty impressive that you were able to get support from your fellow coworkers and so forth. Now, the story with your adopted son, if you could share that, that's a really amazing, amazing story.
Yes. My son, Jaquan, he, right before, right when I got married, his mom asked us if we were to adopt him, you know, if something were to happen to her. And so, and by the way, our anniversary is coming up this week, which is 9/11.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so, but at that time, you know, we said yes, and then he would come and visit for the summer, so we really had a close bond. And then when I would come here to visit, I was living in Texas at the time, I would take him to places like the fair and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so at nine, at the age of nine, when his mom passed away, we actually did, you know, what she asked us to do. And it was something because he was with his mom right before she passed, and it was closure for him because she really suffered a lot of years because of her illness. But when we arrived here, it was amazing that this nine-year-old boy, he comes up, you know, he greets us at the door, and not knowing that we was there because his mom passed away, he felt like it was his responsibility to tell us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he goes, Auntie and Uncle, Auntie, I know you're going to start crying, but I just want to let you know that Mom went to be with the Lord. And you know what? It's okay because she's not suffering anymore. She's in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming out of a nine-year-old person's mouth.
Yeah.
And then we just hugged and cried and just comforted, you know, each other. And it, you know, and then actually, he was my source of strength at the time. Yes.
I believe that. And how wonderful for him to be the example of grit. I mean, and seeing him just use this godly resolve in this troubled times. And how interesting. I mean, it sounds like your wife's sister was sick for a long time, but for her to ask you years earlier to take care of her son if something happened, she must have known. She must, somewhere in her spirit, she must have known. And what a blessing you guys are to her now and to him. So I want to say thank you for doing that and being just the great people that you are. That's awesome. And I want you to keep telling the story because a lot of things go on that I find is incredible.
Yeah. Yes. What was amazing is I deployed when we moved to North Carolina, and so they came to Washington. So at the end of the school year, he got sick. He ended up in the hospital back in 2003, which was the time that they were supposed to be coming back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, he was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure, which is kidney failure. And and so he ended up having to have dialysis. And so I'm calling my family because I'm stationed there. And so for the total amount of months apart, it was like, it ended up being like 28 months total.
Oh.
Yeah. And at one point, I had to call Children's Hospital in Seattle just to talk to my family,
mm-hmm.
to my wife and son, because he was having so many procedures and surgeries and stuff. And then I was blessed to get stationed here, and we was talking with the organ transplant people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to go ahead and go for a match. So they went in, they did all the blood tests and everything. They came back to say, yes, y'all a perfect match, as we expected, like father and son.
Mm.
And so, and they didn't know that he was actually... my nephew on my wife's side. And so, and his eyes got really big. I said, I told you I was your daddy. And so that was a fun moment. And I just think God set that up, you know, in his own way. And so one of the things that was unfortunately is 4 months before my scheduled retirement, I get diagnosed with diabetes, which automatically disqualifies me. And so, and that's kind of, that bothered me to this day. I was, you know, begging and pleading with different doctors, you know, hey, my kidney worked fine, you know, just waive it. And if I have to deal with it, you know, let me deal with it. Just let my son be healed, you know.
Yeah.
And so, but for every reason, you know, it didn't happen that way.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, one of the things that just happened, because right now I'm using my grit even as we speak, because my son just passed away on the 15th of July.
Oh.
And
he did?
Yes. And so, yes. And he went in his sleep. He was supposed to go to dialysis, and when his grandmother went to wake him up, she found him unresponsive.
Oh.
And so he had transitioned into sleep. And so, yeah.
He was a brave.
All the authors of Unwavering Strength just being just amazing, the support. And so everybody's in some way or another being my source of strength.
Oh.
Yes.
And what I hear in this, in your stories you're telling me right now, how God showed you that you and he, the connection you guys had as a father-son. And
absolutely.
How his mother passed on before him, and she was waiting right there for him when he went, and he felt it. He felt the love for that you had for him, and as you say, you're using your grit now and the support for unwavering strength has.
Yeah. How are you doing, Willie? Are you doing okay? You and your wife?
Yes, we're just taking it one day at a time.
Sure.
The toughest time is when we go to worship, because I'm sitting in the pulpit and I would look up in the balcony, and that's where he would normally be at. He would come in and slip up, and I happen to look up and he's sitting there in the balcony.
Yes.
And so, but we're taking it one day at a time. We just appreciate the 25 years that we had him in our lives, that we were blessed and he needed a special love, and we had the opportunity to provide it.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. And so that's how we are confident. You know, love heals and love forgives and conquers all and delivers.
That's right.
And the last
that's all that God asks us to do is to love one another as he has loved us, you know, and you certainly did that with your boy and vice versa.
Yes. Well, the last thing I said when I wrote this back in March was, I always tell him that I love you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing I said in the chapter was, God, I trust you with my son.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And what a beautiful lesson that we take from this is that, God, I trust you with all matters that weigh on my heart. And I mean, Willie, you certainly, through your story, through being so honest with the reader, with us, our faith was able to grow.
Absolutely. I could feel your faith just coming off the page of your story, and now to hear, you know, even greater strength even required, you know, of you. And I'm honored to hear your testimony. I'm honored to be witness to this today.
And also, and Willie, do you feel that in some, you know, sharing this story with Unwavering Strength and being the book coming out the end of September, in the way I see it, as it really is a celebration of your life and the grit, the godly resolve that you have and everything that you've been doing. And so even though the timing, everything just feels like it was there for a reason. I mean, I didn't want to say that, but it just feels like with this story, you're going to touch so many people's hearts and help so many people. And you being so honest with this story, I just want to say thank you. I'm sure it wasn't easy, but thank you so much. And I just want you to know that my faith, my heart has been touched in such a deep way. And thank you for being who you are.
Absolutely.
Willie, I know that people can get a hold of you on your Facebook. Or what website do you want to share with our listeners?
Yes, it's simple. WillieTart.com. W-I-L-L-I-E.
Mm-hmm. WillieTart.com.
Yes.
Great.
That's awesome. Like my mom says, you have a great name.
You do have a great name.
I always think you. I think you have a football name or a great coach name.
Yeah, Jimmy says this is like an NFL name or something.
Yeah. I know I'm all about the sports right now. I have my fancy football team, but I would like Willie Tart to be the coach of my Chicago Bears.
That's right.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. See, just think of me as the faith coach.
That's right.
Oh, I love it.
I love that.
He's
Willie
my
Tart. Faith coach.
Yes.
Faith coach.
Yeah. 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 See, y'all just, all of you just spoke that into me. That's hot off the press.
I love it. I do. That is so cool.
What should our team then be called, Mom, under Willie's tutelage? We'll be like, I don't know, Willie's Angels.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
I love that,
amazing.
Too.
Amazing.
Yes. Well, Willie, thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor,
thank you so much.
To be able to do this.
Oh, thank you, Willie. It's been such a, you're a treasure. And I just send you just so many blessings, and you and your wife have a good night together.
Definitely, I appreciate it. We thank you. Keep us in your prayers.
Yeah,
and
you
one
bet.
Of the things that we made an intentional choice was to take. Yes, we have pain, but we decided to let our pain make us to be a better person.
You bet.
And that's what I challenge the young adults to do. I asked them, don't go and pour something in the ground and do any of that stuff. If you want to honor his life, live a successful one yourself and let the pain make you a better person.
Oh, you bet.
Thank you.
So cool. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. God bless.
Have a great night, Willie.
God bless you.
You can find more about Willie Tart at willietart.com, WILLIETART. And his wonderful story is going to be in a new book, Unwavering Strength, coming out at the end of September.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yes. And it's, you know, it just proves that our lives are always so fluid.
Yes.
His story just touched my heart, and his faith just touched my heart. And I think I have great faith, and then I realize that it expands more and more.
Yes. Isn't that true?
Very much so, very much so. So, girlfriend, one thing I've been learning about Unwavering Strength in these stories is how deeply they touch our hearts. But no matter what, we all have these situations where we are dealt this pain that we have to go through. And I think as where we are in our culture, we sometimes are afraid to admit that there are things going on in our lives that are painful. And there's loss that happens that we just can't put a smiley face on.
Right.
And we have to dive deep to figure out the meanings.
And we have it in us.
Yes.
You may think you don't have it, and you don't. You may think you don't, but we do. And you're right. You've got to be a deep diver. You go deep, and you find that anchor, you know, that support that you need. And you trust, you know, to rely on the Spirit totally.
And as Willie would say, you have grit, godly resolve in troubled times.
Right.
And his life, I think he mastered this so that he can teach others. And when I said he would have a coach's name, a faith coach, I think he is our faith coach.
I think he is, too.
And I think he will be a faith coach to many who hear his story.
100%.
And And he also gives in his book, you know, props to his dad about how he saw his dad have this grit. We learn it from so many people in our lives.
Right. He was blessed to have these great parents, and this he told about the story about you know, how his dad was always supportive of him, and I think he said that in his training as a paramedic, he was actually able to save his dad's life.
Yeah. He's just a pretty awesome dude. He's
That's
a pretty
right.
awesome man. Dude's not the right word I want to say. A pretty
right.
awesome man.
Because you got to say, yeah, you can say dude faith coach.
Dude faith coach. Exactly. He's pretty much an angel. That's what he is right here on earth. So, well, before we go, Mama, we got a few more minutes and so forth. And I have things I want to talk about, but it all feels not appropriate because I feel we're leaving on a very sweet, tender-hearted moment.
Well, I just want to say, you know, you guys know that everybody knows Joan Rivers passed away this week. And, I mean, I don't know why, but I loved her. I just loved her. And I wrote a book called Sinkhole de Mayo under a pseudonym. And in one of the storylines in the book is that Joan Rivers comes to town, and it's the town in Mexico, in New Mexico. And just so happens that everybody has these little bracelets on that says WWJD.
Yes.
And it means, what would Joan do in the situation? And so I just want to say I loved her, and I appreciated her relationship with her daughter, Melissa. And I just want to leave you with a quote that Joan Rivers said. And it means, I want to say it to you, Julie. She said, I was blessed enough to give birth to my best friend. And that is exactly how I feel about you, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you. And I would have to say that I was blessed enough to come through the birth canal of my best friend. So, you know, I'll put that on a bracelet. I came through the birth canal of my best friend.
That's too many letters.
I guess so. All right, everyone, we want to thank you for being part of this wonderful show tonight.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. I love it when you say that, Julie.
Do you? Wonderful. I know. I use that word too much.
No, I love it, though, because you're like, I'm telling you right now, it's a wonderful show.
I know.
I'm so glad you came to this wonderful show.
I need to have a thesaurus to open my vocabulary.
Yeah. I'll just say that
It was great. All right. Have a great night, everyone. You can find out more about the Clutterfly Effect at theclutterflyeffect.com and or at us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com or bbsradio.com/lifewiththegirlfriends. Have a great night. Bye-bye. It was great. It was great.